Yeah, you know what you're listening to. This is the very best NBA draft podcast. I like to call it the best NBA draft content on the continent. It is Hitting the Hardwood, episode 12. Welcome, everybody, to what you're listening to the next 30 minutes, man, where basketball lives. I like to call it the Basketball Buffet, a weekly podcast of the upcoming 2018 NBA draft. So I appreciate everybody for listening on our second season. It's me, Deshaun Tate. They call me D Tate, as per usual. And of course, my boy, G Rob.
What's up, man? Gordon Robinson, man. How you feeling today?
Well, I didn't know you was going to throw out the government name and all that, you know.
But, well, you know, you introduced yourself. I introduced
myself. Yeah.
You know.
Not bad. Okay. Yeah, I'm doing outstanding, man. I'm looking forward to this draft. There's been some recent stuff that's been coming out. We're gonna get to that in some of our headlines, whatnot. But it's been intriguing, man. It is a very popular right now for people to come out and say that they are the best thing going on in this draft.
And once again, I think we kind of touched on this the last time. Mm-hmm. I think it's good for a kid to have confidence in themselves. Mm. So, I mean, to hear a young man, 18, 19, 20, 21 years old, to say he's the best thing coming out in the draft, I don't think that's an unusual phenomenon.
Some people kind of overselling themselves a little bit, too. And I know that you said that it's good for these kids to be confident, but it's also good for some of these kids to be realistic. We'll touch on some of that on the NBA scouting combine. We're going to recap that a little bit. Obviously, that just took place on this time last week in Chicago. Talk about some of the guys that shined in that, and then some quotes and some notes from a couple different guys that participated in that and was in the building for that. Refuse to lose, as I like to call it, a couple organizations that can't afford to miss here. We got some important dates, withdrawal dates and stuff like that of that nature, and our typical weekly segment part of this podcast entitled The Hawks Talk, where we talk about things that are happening locally around the ATL in regards to the NBA draft, that is, i.e., the Atlanta Hawks here in the ATL, Georgia Tech, University of Georgia, both of them having two prospects that are looking to make their dreams come true, which is something that will take place on tomorrow, 1 month. I'm sorry, something that will take place 1 month from yesterday, if you will. That'll be on the 21st. However, first things first, real quick, let's set the table on the Twitter lines at Tate's Take Sports, TATESTAKE Sports, as well as check our show Twitter, where we like to tweet some really interesting things regarding the NBA playoffs as well and the NBA as a whole as the draft. Right. That is at HitHardwood929.
And I am at G Robinson Sports.
Perfect. Hey, NBA Scouting Combine, let's get into that first, man, because that's what we're here for ultimately, G-Rob. What were some of your takeaways personally? Because there were some guys that I marked down that I thought shined a little bit and certainly helped their case to maybe getting drafted around this time next week, next month.
I always love this time of year, especially coming around. There's a lot of rumors flying around. I think even though I don't believe he performed at the Combine, like you got well, actually, I know he didn't perform. He actually backed out. Mitchell Robinson backed out of the Combine, and a lot of people are speculating that it's based on a promise that the Lakers gave him that they would take him with their pick. So based on that, he basically backed out of the draft and decided not to play. Also, I love the rumor of one guy who showed pretty good. We talked about him last week, which is the brother for Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Oh yeah, Kostas.
Kostas, he showed pretty good upside, and people are also speculating that with Giannis coming up to be a free agent, that anyone who may draft his brother Kostas,
package deal,
you may have the upper hand.
Mm.
Huh?
Mm. Huh? Not bad.
Make this a family affair.
Not bad. That's a lot of length out there.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You can hold hands and you can go from baseline to baseline.
I'm trying to tell you the truth. You can maybe even get one of them nachos from somebody sitting on the side and just dip right in the cheese. One thing I am going to want to make sure that I do note, we were just talking about length.
Right.
Mo Bamba, I think the longest wingspan, and you're going to hear that word wingspan a whole lot. I don't even want to know how many times you can count that you'll hear that on draft night. 7 feet, 10 inches long wingspan from Mo Bamba. the longest in NBA history. And then I know that you were just speaking upon Mitchell Robinson, a guy who a lot of people are not necessarily familiar with. And because he decided to kind of go to Western Kentucky and enroll and then come out and say he's going to wait until the draft and then, you know, kind of reconsider a little bit, say he's going to go back to school, never did that, and just say he's going to have his own private little workouts and whatnot. So he hasn't really been involved in basketball speed, organized basketball speed activities in quite some time, in which that's kind of interesting that the Lakers would make that promise. A couple of guys I just kind of noticed, and we talked last week about Grayson Allen. Now, Grayson Allen did not partake in any of the five-on-five activities. However, I think that it is intriguing on some of the conversations that he was having during the interview process with some of the NBA executives and GMs, in which they said that they were not only impressed by his vertical leap and just some of his agility skills, competition, and stuff like that, but they were also, I'm not sure if they walked away, I don't know if impressed is the word, but they walked away pleased by the interview process from what I've gathered.
Well, I'm sure, you know, being a Duke kid, he's a well-spoken young man.
Oh, yeah. And fake it till you make it, baby.
And from that, like, you can tell that he's a competitor.
Mm-hmm.
You have no denying his competition level. He lives for this, and he'll go to it at all extremes.
That's right.
To try to get the upper hand, by which we've seen as far as the tripping, kicking, and those, you know, different antics that he's gone through in the past, you know, that's already been documented. But I think that's the thing that has gotten a lot of GMs and executives, you know, there's very few players that you can just say, I know this kid wants to win, and it's not just lip service.
That's right.
I think that's one of the things that they love about Grayson Allen. Like, you can just tell he wants to, he has to win.
Right, that's a selling point of his, I would imagine. I'm even kind of – sometimes I was kind of thinking about this when I was at the house and kind of watching and taking some notes on the scouting combine. Was it better for Grayson Allen to come out after that, like, awesome freshman year that he had – you know, when he had a really good, you know, Final Four for the National Championship 2015.
Right.
Guys, that kind of remind me of Dante DiVincenzo a little bit, in a sense. I mean, the way he came out, I mean, they tore up Michigan State in that one, and then in the championship game in 2015, you know, they took care of, I think that was Kentucky on that one, so... I'm sorry, not Kentucky, Wisconsin in that championship game. But just the way that he performed, it was like something you never saw coming. And speaking of Dante DiVincenzo, he is another guy that probably raised his stakes even higher, as he's still kind of undecided on whether he's going to return back to Villanova.
He's yet to hire an agent.
Yet to hire an agent, which is very important.
And if you haven't hired an agent, what is it, March 31st? I mean, May 30th. I'm sorry. I keep
May 30th.
Saying.
May 30th is the deadline to withdraw and go back to school.
Exactly. So we'll know something pretty soon.
Yeah, which is going to be interesting. Of course, Dante DiVincenzo coming off the bench, 31 points in the national championship game over Michigan back in April in San Antonio. But, I mean, to be honest with you, I was really kind of trying to put myself in a decision. We're not going to get to the mock draft yet. That'll be starting probably within the next week or two when we provide that to you guys. But I will say as much to say that I was thinking about him in advance already at, like, number 19. If you needed a risk taker and you was like, I don't know about this Doncic thing, I think I want more of the sure bet with, like, a Bagley or something.
Right.
If you're going to take the risk on somebody, I kind of felt like that would have been a guy like a Dante DiVincenzo. And after this, I feel like that, you know, that confirms it a little bit more.
Well, I've seen, in terms of bringing it back here home to the Hawks, I've seen a lot of interesting mock drafts after the combine.
Some of them too interesting, though, G-Rod. I mean, some of them that look crazy. I'm like, who is this dude?
Well, yeah. I mean, some of these you have to kind of take with a grain of salt, because if we haven't heard of the guys, then 9 times out of 10, he may just be a guy who's a workout kid, you know, one of these workout warriors, and looks great, and someone just says, oh, they have a need for this, so I'll slip him in there. I'll write him in at the 30th pick for Atlanta or whoever. But, like, I've seen Trey Duvall pick number 30 for Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've seen
– you like that, by the way?
I would. I mean, just simply because we don't know what's going on with Dennis Schroeder.
That's right.
I mean, he's gone the Julio Jones route of scrubbing his Instagram, and I think he only had, like, one picture up, and so he had no picks for the Hawks. everybody's going crazy off this whole IG thing. I think Cousins did the whole thing too with eliminating all the pictures.
That's right. Julio Jones. I think we've seen it on a lot of different platforms.
It's a phenomenon with young athletes apparently that you know you start to clean up your IG account and then let speculators go crazy like their heads on fire.
Yeah, it's just kind of crazy just to think of all those things. Just talking about Trae Young, a freshman out of Duke, that just, you know, giving the thoughts about him. I mean, just a guy with really good size and just the way that he could penetrate to the basket. Really good at Duke this past year from a field goal percentage standpoint. Not a great shooter, a point guard that shot probably around 20% from three and 60% from the free throw line. Both of those categories being the worst on the team and by far. As one of the starters, but he probably has the most upside of any point guard, I would say, in this draft, whose last name is not Young or Sexton.
Right.
So from that standpoint, you know, you start considering some things, and you're looking at his some people might say, well, look at all those things that you just said in comparison to a Jalen Brunson, but the upside in the longevity exactly. of the NBA, I think,
and
is something you got to kind of
factor
in.
Like you said, looked at as a scorer prior to this year.
That's right. You know, number one point guard in the draft point guard in this class over Sexton
exactly.
and Trae Young coming in.
So, and then I've also, speaking of point guards and keeping it here local with Atlanta,
yep.
Tulane, Melvin Frazier.
Yeah.
He's impressed.
He's from Atlanta?
No. I'm saying Atlanta Hawks. I've seen him drafted.
Okay.
I've seen him slated in that same number 30 spot.
That's interesting.
You know, end of the first round. Defensively, mm-hmm. I've heard he impressed everybody, you know, in terms of that. I think I have it here. Seven foot two wingspan.
Oh, my goodness.
You know what I'm saying?
That can definitely do you some 40, good.
Over 40-inch vertical.
Yeah.
So if you're looking for, like I said, looking for guys to take that wing, and if we're looking at that being a model of you got to have length on the floor, because that's starting to become the thing, more athleticism, getting longer, guys running the floor, rim running, and just getting up and down the court. That's something to, you know, keep your eye out for.
It's funny that you mentioned Melvin Frazier, because a lot of people didn't know it. Mike Dunleavy is the head coach of that team. Mike Dunleavy Sr., obviously. And Tulane had a pretty good team this year. Not a lot of people took notice to that. And if it wasn't for Melvin Frazier, trust me, they wouldn't have been anywhere near, remotely close to being in that kind of position to where we would say such things. The last two people I want to point out of guys that shined in our in the 2018 NBA Scouting Combine that took place last week in Chicago was, ironically, as we have it here, two Kansas guys, Udoka Azubuike, who can't – I think he shoots free throws worse than Shaquille O'Neal. If your brain can even fathom wrapping around that idea. And I want to make sure I'm pronouncing this guy's first name correctly, because I know the last name is Makai Luke, but the first name is Svi. I think his name is Svi. Makai Luke is – you know, he is – let's just put it out there for what it is. He's a lot more athletic than he looks.
Right.
But he's a really good jump shooter, really good size, 6'8", a guy that can play the two, maybe even the three. Have some concerns about his consistency, especially from in the defensive playing category. However, Azubuike is a big man. I saw him out in Chicago, and this dude is he's a monster. He needs to work on free throws, but as I'm sure every guy that stands over seven feet tall, whose last name isn't like Durant or Antetokounmpo or something like that, but a guy of that size shooting free throws. Let's talk about the quotes and notes, G-Rob, because this stuck out to me a little bit in the combine too. It seems like everybody's joining in on what DeAndre Ayton said a couple weeks ago when he said he's the best player in this draft.
Right.
There are Mokan Elite, who is an AAU team, a Nike sponsor team in AAU. They are alumni. They played together in the AAU circuit and won a championship at the Peach Jam. That would be one Trae Young and Michael Porter Jr., one we saw a lot more of this year than the other.
Right.
They both come out and say that they're the best player in this draft, especially it's a little more surprising with Michael Porter Jr. because despite, you know, his back injury or whatever, like you were saying, is this something that these kids are supposed to do? Because as much as you feel like they're supposed to be confident, I also feel like they're supposed to be kind of realistic.
Well, you're here to sell yourself.
That's right.
So with the hype that was Michael Porter Jr. coming into the season, and we know he had the back surgery, you got to tell everybody I'm okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still the guy that you fell in love with and the whole country wanted, and you were projecting me to be a top NBA draft pick. I'm still the best guy that's going to be in this draft. So you have to sell yourself so that GMs are saying, okay, but maybe there's nothing. And what you have to do is you have to put a level of doubt in a GM's mind that if I don't draft this kid and he turns out to be a Kevin Durant type guy, to where he's, you know, you can't really stop him. He's shooting over guys here and there. He's got a pretty good handle on the basketball. I look like a fool. So I have to take it. And if you're not confident when you sit in front of these executives, then they're not going to be confident when it's time to go to the draft board.
Now, let me ask you this, G-Rob, since both of these guys said this, and even we can even throw DeAndre Ayton in this conversation, I'm going to throw out a double question at you. Number one, between these two guys or even these three guys, forget about DeAndre Ayton because most people will consider that being the consensus. Let's just go Trae Young and Michael Porter saying this, Michael Porter Jr., that is. Do you think either of those two guys are the best player in this draft? And do you see anything that both of those two guys are better at than anybody else in this draft?
No and no. Because simply because with Trae Young, I don't think he's impressed anyone to the point where he can show that he's better than Colin Sexton or even Duval.
But in any area on the floor?
I mean, in excitement.
Okay.
You know, he's going to come in, and I was going to bring that up a little later, that there's been reports linking him to saying New York really likes him, and they want to put him together in the backcourt with Frank.
Sure. Nicolino.
I always butcher it up.
All good.
But, yeah, there were reports that they were going to put him in the back, you know, in the backcourt together. But turnovers, decision making, I don't think that's his shot selection. I think you have to take all of that stuff into account that tells me, no, you're not a better point guard than Colin Sexton or even a Duval. I mean, defensively, who is he going to check? He may be quick enough to stay in front of you, but if you get one of these, you know, one of these stronger point guards that want to take you down to the block, he weighs like
ain't saying much, right? I was going to say.
He weighs like $170. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Who's he going to stop?
Okay.
You know, even like a wily veteran like Chris Paul will have his way with him.
Oh, for sure.
You know what I'm saying? So,
well, what about Michael Porter Jr.? Do you think we haven't seen a whole lot of Michael Porter Jr., but from what you've seen of him, do you think he's better in any specific area than everybody else in this draft?
Not from what I've seen. Okay. I mean, I looked for the athleticism to come back, and he was still looking a little walking gingerly, you know, working out when he was at
SEC. I like that, walking gingerly, okay.
You know what I'm saying? So during the SEC tournament, I was waiting to see, you know, some explosiveness, something, you know, something that I could say, okay, here we go.
This is the guy that everybody was talking
exactly,
about.
Exactly, okay. And I didn't get it. So for me, it's a high risk, high reward.
Okay.
Because I always say, if you got a guy 6'8", 6'9", 6'10", 6'11", and we're talking about back issues, you know, it could go, either he's going to be fully recovered and it's going to work like it never, like it was never.
Like it never happened, right.
Or
it's going to be bust written all over it.
All over. He may never see the floor.
Okay.
You know, and then we're talking about an NBA season with 82 games.
That's right.
You got to think at some point in time it's going to come up.
Well, let me say this, first of all, and I hear what you're saying in regards to Michael Porter Jr. I think arguably he probably has the most upside of anybody probably in this draft. And like you said, it's either going to be boom or bust. But I respectfully disagree and feel like you couldn't be more wrong when it comes to Trae Young. And let me explain to you why. I do see that there are some defensive inconsistencies with his game or whatever. I think him picking up 12 pounds since, you know, his last game of the season certainly helps. And in addition to that, you know, there isn't going to be a ton of factoring in on Trae Young and Trae Young only at this next level. It's not like he's got like Lonzo Ball's daddy or anything like that pumping him up to the point where everybody wants to take a shot at him. Now, furthermore, another thing that I would say is I think that he's definitely the best shooter in this draft. And he proved that this past year. I think that he can probably make a case for himself to say that he's the best player in this draft because he looked like the best player in a lot of ways and for a specific amount of time, mostly in the first half of the college basketball season. Like, he was the best player in college basketball with the way he got everybody involved. Sure, he turned the ball over, but all the responsibilities, he's playing with guys that are like four-star athletes and never going to touch an NBA floor. So I want to give him credit the same way, too. And we respectfully disagree, and that's cool. I just think the way he's able to score the ball and dish the ball to get guys involved in a different way. I'm not saying better than Colin Sexton. Right. Colin Sexton can't, but I think that they do it differently, and I think that that's also clear.
Right.
I think that's why Trae Young has a case to say that he's the best player in his draft based on what he did during the season.
I just believe to say that you're the best shooter in the draft is a big statement to make when you take terrible shots. I don't care how great you can shoot the ball, but if you take terrible shots and you're not draining them, they could turn into buckets the other way for the other team.
Well, so. Not, and I hate to keep on bringing this up because we keep on doing the whole Steph Curry thing, but it didn't look like when Steph Curry was at Davidson, it looked like he took a lot of similar shots. I mean, if you go back and look at their percentages, they're very, very similar. And that's Steph Curry after 3 years in his junior year at Davidson. They're very familiar to a Trae Young's 18-year-old,
right,
you know, shot taking and whatnot, playing with a lot of similar talent. But I just kind of wanted to throw that out there. I thought that was something that's very interesting. And as we get ready to move forward a little bit, let's talk about a couple of organizations, maybe two or three of them, because I know we're kind of pressed for time. Organizations that, you know, refuse to lose. They can't lose out or can't afford to miss on NBA drafts, just picking the right guy, you know, this year. I think I want to personally start off, and I just want to throw one. If you have more than one, by all means. But since we're right here in Atlanta, I think Atlanta is not in a position, as they're rearranging so much and got so many things going on in regards to the front office and head coach in his rookie year and renovations to the building and so on and so forth. And, you know, the GM Schlenk is in his second year. I think that they have to land right here. They did a good job with Tyler Dorsey and John Collins the first time around. They can't afford to mess it up, because all this stuff between, you know, I think what did we have at one point? Konkak and Adrian Payne and A.C. Law and Marvin Williams and the other Williams. Sheldon Williams.
The list is extremely long.
Yeah, yeah. Salim Stoudemire. I mean, you name it. They have to hit on this one. Well, I think that they're in that position.
I will say that the Hawks are in a position. I don't think they're necessarily a hit. You have to hit on this one because you have – one, because you have so many draft picks in this one. But I do agree that there has to be a guy coming out of this draft that the fans can kind of hang their hat on, a guy who's going to be a staple in the draft, because you have the, you know, you have the number 3, you got the 19, you got the 30 in that first round. One of those pieces, if not two of those pieces, need to be players.
Mm-hmm.
I think you get a little leniency with the fans because they realize they're starting, you know, Atlanta fans, despite the terrible, you know, sports analogy that everybody gives, Atlanta fans are pretty educated in terms of basketball, and they'll give you a little leniency because they understand the position that they're in.
Right. Correct.
So, yeah, I believe you need to hit on this. But I don't think, like, if from a fan's perspective, like, it's like, oh, we're on the edge because the Hawks are where they are. On the contrast, I think, for me, the New York Knicks need to land a player in this draft. They can't afford to miss.
They can't afford to
miss.
So
whether it's Trae Young, Colin Sexton, whoever comes to them at that position, they gotta get a guy, because New York is on the edge and has been for a while. So I think that's my team that I think that can't afford to miss.
That's funny you say that, because was it David Fizdale now is the new coach over there in New York? I think it's David Fizdale, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
Which is going to be really important, because I think he's a really good coach and he can coach up to some really good players too,
right,
as well. I think kind of some of the same things that Schlenk is looking forward to here in regards to bringing in a coach that is good with developing players, in addition to, you know, relating to some of the younger generational players.
That's what I'm going to say. He's pretty much known as a player's coach, and he's been a part of some pretty good programs. And formerly, he had been here for a while in Atlanta before going down to Miami and being a part of the whole Big Three down there.
Oh, man, makes a lot of sense, man. It's all starting to add up right now. Before we get into our Hawks talk, I want to throw one thing out here, because I do want to definitely touch on some of these important dates within the next couple minutes. Is we're at towards the tail end of our podcast duration. We like to keep it right at around 30 minutes. However, before I get to those dates, I want to throw something out there real quick. I was having a conversation with a buddy of mine, and he hit me up on Twitter like, you know what? I love you and G Rob's podcast, man. Like, you know, you guys are doing your thing, and you're definitely getting to it. But I've listened to all the podcasts, and I've heard you mention Luka Doncic on every single last one of them, and it's all been something of somewhat negativity. What do you have against Luka Doncic? And then we had a conversation based on that for like 2 hours straight.
Right.
And so I feel like it's only fitting and it's only right for me to still continue on and say at least one thing about Luka Doncic that I feel like doesn't necessarily have to be positive, but I don't think it doesn't necessarily have to be negative. I just feel like it has to be truth. So I want to do that right now.
Well, let's shout him out first because he won mm-hmm. the Eurobasket.
Yep,
championship.
Sure. Yep. Yep.
And he was MVP.
Him and all his 15 points in that league.
And That's what I'm going to say. He was MVP.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And 16. Yeah, sure.
So, I mean, shouts out to him. I mean, hey, you know, a win is a win.
That's right.
And an award is an award. You know, if you're deemed as the guy, you know. I think, did he foul out of the championship game?
I'm not sure if he fouled out
of the championship game.
Okay.
We have to look that up. But I think.
Man, if you're fouling out over there, just imagine. Ooh, wee.
I mean, I think I know where you're going, man. Like, to me, once again, the athleticism, and you watched the game. I didn't get a chance to watch. Did you watch the game Friday?
I didn't
get a chance to watch it as much, but from what I did see, like I said, the athleticism, I'm still a little skeptical.
That's
you know,
right.
You know what I'm saying? So,
as you should be.
To see a guy with, you're going to take top three,
mm-hmm.
can he get his shot off?
Mm-hmm.
Can he get past defenders?
Mm-hmm.
You know, can he get in and mix it up to get offensive rebounds, to get putbacks? Because you're asking wings to do that.
That's right.
So I just have the questions, and I don't see the answers. You know, it's not the fact that I don't think he can do it. I don't see it.
Well, let me say this real quick because I just want to throw this out there as far as Luka Doncic goes. I think Luka Doncic has the tools. I think that he has a skill set, but because he lacks that athleticism, like you get over here, it's a totally different ball game.
Right.
You're not playing with what's the dude from Georgia that plays on his team, UGA that played with Travis Leslie and all them, Tompkins.
Tompkins?
Trey Tompkins. Playing with him on his team, and then Walter Tavares mm-hmm. is on his team. You're playing up against DeColo and Corey Higgins, formerly of Colorado, and somebody. Look, let me tell you something. You coming over here to play with real ball players.
The best.
I'm not saying that those,
right.
but this is the reason why it's considered to be the best. I think that we saw this already before what we expected out of a guy like a Dante Exum.
Right.
And I like his size, and I like all these things. I think that he's a really good ball player, but I think that people are giving him a little bit too much praise based on his size and ball handling ability. You come over here, guys can do two things if they can't do nothing else. They can run and they can jump.
Right.
So a lot of the stuff that you're getting off over there, over the water, you're not getting that off over here. Now, let me ask you this, because I know that you're a big Hawks man, and we got to get into these dates. But, and give me the real. Give me the G-Rob.
No,
I need that real.
Know, you know,
I need the real G-Rob. You
know,
feel me?
I'll shoot you straight now.
All right, check this out. If at the number three pick, and he's available, the Atlanta Hawks, your team, die hard, select Luka Doncic, what is your straight-up G-Rob initial reaction to that? Is it like, damn, or is it like I like? What is your?
I'm
initial?
Disappointed.
You're disappointed.
Yeah,
right off the bat.
I'm disappointed.
Off the rip. What is this town? How does Hawks fan? How do they embrace that? How do you think?
I don't think there will be any embracing of it.
Okay.
Because unlike me and you, most of the town hasn't seen the guy, and the first time they'll see him is they start when they run the highlights.
Mm-hmm.
After the draft selection,
which everybody's highlights looks good,
right? We could put me and you out at the gym, and then you could cut it up. And
yeah,
and they say,
"Well, you ain't got to cut my stuff on me. I can do a little something." You know what I'm saying?
You don't have to do a little editing to me, but I
mean, my highlight tape going to be like 30 seconds because I got bad lungs and I eat all them pizzas and hot readies over at the Caesars. May 15th. We're already past May 15th. Duh. Okay, that was the lotto selection. 16 was the combine. Okay, moving forward. A little ahead of myself now. May 30th, back to school deadline for players to be able to withdraw from the process in which they call it testing the waters or whatever of the NBA draft. That is the deadline to be able to return back to school. Now, June 11th is the withdrawal deadline internationally and just in general to be able to pull from the NBA. Gotta have you an agent. at that point, and which is really interesting, G. Rob, because Mo Bamba said that he's not going to hire an agent. Right. He's representing himself.
He's been going around, he went around the combine.
I think that is awesome, dude.
The funny thing about that, though,
sure,
he went around the combine
with business cards. Yeah, yeah, like this is super smart, dude. Dog. Like this is super smart, dude. Represent yourself. I think that's the most awesome thing, because nobody can represent you how you represent you.
Right.
Like I haven't been in a ton of trouble or anything, but I would never go like the court appointed lawyer or go and hire. I mean, that's just me. I feel like I can represent my.
We can talk about law issues. You know, like, you know what I'm saying?
Like,
it's certain places where you better get
you gonna need somebody.
You better get a guy.
Your
on
mouthpiece
the
ain't gonna be able to do it.
Gonna get a guy.
Well, my mouthpiece done already got me where I needed to be so far, but I ain't never been in nothing crazy trouble, nor entering the NBA draft, although I see some people when they enter, I feel like I can enter. June 21st is the big day, the NBA draft out in Brooklyn, man. I'm going to be there. Totally excited about that. Now, last but finally, and certainly not least, G. Ryle's favorite part of a podcast, the Hawk Talk. We talk local ATL, college basketball, and NBA, obviously, Atlanta Hawks as it relates to the NBA draft. One guy declares and one guy is automatically eligible. When we're talking about Georgia Tech, we're talking about Georgia. The latter would be Yonte Maton.
Right.
And up first, Josh Okogie, who declared, had a really good combine. I've seen him hit for like 20-something in one of those games. What is your take on between the two?
Well, we kind of touched on him, especially Okogie, last week.
That's
When we talked about him.
But it's official now.
When he worked out for Atlanta, and a lot of the things that we were talking about, his length was pretty good. Hitting the three-pointers were pretty good.
Mm.
You know, and like you said, he's putting up numbers, so – I think Travis Link has some pretty good things to say about him. And, I mean, Maton, I don't think he's as athletic as people think, but he's Schlink talked about him having a high basketball IQ, and that basketball IQ will allow him to put points on the board, and that's something you always have to – you can never deny a guy who can score.
I think that that's important, man, because I like Josh Okogie's size and his strength, but at a guy that's like 6'3", 6'4", you know, who can't shoot particularly great or anything like that, and kind of struggles running that point, but not big enough to be a two. I think if he just comes in, there's a lot of tweeners can come in,
right,
play really good defense, defend multiple positions, can run, can jump, athletic, got some strength behind it, and going to give you hustle plays and little second chance points. And for the couple minutes that he got, that he can provide, I think that he can definitely benefit him in whatever organization.
And again, we're talking about two guys who will probably get drafted second round, mid to late second round, you know, if they get picked up at all. But I mean, and I think I've seen Okogie around 47 to 50-ish, 51, somewhere around in there, mm-hmm. getting that range. But I will say, like I said, he definitely helped himself out, you know, and that's one thing you can always do when you go in here. You don't want to come out, dip your toe in the water, and then realize that you ain't above your head all of a sudden.
Finally, our last piece here of Hawk Talk here on Hitting the Hardwood with D. Tate and G. Rob. John Collins is named to the second team NBA All-Rookie team on today. Is this something that you saw coming this time last year? Because I'll be honest, I mean, even when they were talking about Justin Patton, I was talking about Justin Patton when, you know, and I mean, John Collins' name did not come up particularly a ton. But John Collins, I think, is one of the better, not only just the better NBA rookies I've seen this year, but just one of the better NBA players in general, who's not a superstar and is still of somewhat, you know, youthful status within the last, you know, 3, 4, 5 years, whatever. But everything he brought to Atlanta this year, dude, I mean, I'm going to be real. I'm a college basketball junkie. I saw none of this coming out of Wake Forest. Like, what are your thoughts? Because I tipped my cap, and I told him this. I said, dude, I went out there, I watched you in the summer league when I saw him to begin the year here in Atlanta, and I had a talk with him. I said, dude, I didn't see this from you. Like, I did not see this happening. So I told him to his face and wanted to be straight up, man. But I think that that was key, not only because I want to be real with a dude, but also because, I mean, it's all to his credit. He overachieved in my eyes. What about you?
Yeah, I think he overachieved simply because you never know what to expect out of a guy. I think his athleticism played a lot for his game.
Mm-hmm.
I think his motor does a lot for
his
game. And offensive rebounding, you can't overstate it. I think he'll be one of the guys that puts the highlight back in the highlight factory. and he's already started to do it. I mm-hmm. mean, you see, I think he'll be him and Torian Prince, they'll play off of each other well, and it's a good thing when you have a guy who can throw the ball up, and you know he'll come down with
That's
it.
Right.
And he seems like when I watched him, especially at the during the All-Star break. He seems to have a good rapport with a lot of the guys around him. So when he had like the rookie game, the rookie second year game,
mm-hmm.
he seemed to have a good rapport with a lot of the guys. And so that's something key too, because you come in, you don't want a guy who's just off to himself. You want somebody that the whole league can kind of embrace and wrap their arms around, and everybody likes him.
Sure.
And so that can help in future to bring a free agent into the city.
My boy G Rob hitting y'all over the head with a plethora of basketball knowledge, man, talking about Colin's energy and just his motor and what he can bring to the table. That's it for us, man. Appreciate you guys for checking out our second season in episode number 12. I guess it's the fourth episode now of Hitting the Hardwood. Remember to go check us out on the social media handles for me at Tate's Take. That is TATESTAKE Sports, as well as our show at Hit Hardwood 929, HITHARDWOOD 929. And for G Rob.
And at G Robinson Sports. Man, it is important that you come and you hit us up on Twitter. Let us know what you think, because then we can interact with you and we can get a better feedback on, you know, on how you feel. How you feel about the show, how you feel about the things that we're talking about.
Next week, we'll be talking about some of the different headlines going on, getting caught up, and what things have changed around the world of the NBA draft coming up for 2018. Remember, that'll take place on June 21st. Getting ready to get up out of here, man. Just appreciate everybody for listening to our segment.
And before we sign off real quick.
Oh, for sure.
I want to say for next week, I want to see if we can kind of focus on, like for Hawk Talk, focus on that number 3 pick and
okay.
the possibilities
okay.
of that number 3 pick.
Okay.
Like we touched on it a little earlier with Luka. We touched on it, you know, you've heard Bagley, we've heard, you know what I'm saying, Jackson, we heard mm-hmm. a bunch of different names there. Mm-hmm. But I want to kind of get into that for Hawk Talk.
And lock in on it a little bit. Okay, we can do that. Make sure you guys check that out, man, when we bring up our Hawk Talk segment. And then, you know, fret not, you know, we are going to be coming with our 2018, the official Hitting the Hardwood mock draft, probably like a week or two after that, man. We'll get a little bit closer to the draft. So appreciate everybody for listening, man, and catch you guys around this time next week in a minute.
Holla, holla.